Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Back to 1 Timothy 3:15, which I said on the broadcast yesterday, I believe is one of the most important texts in all the Bible. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, January 22, 2010, for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And here we go, back into 1 Timothy 3:15, where Paul says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." So Paul writes to inform somebody about proper conduct in the church, called here the house of God, the church of the living God. Those are two pretty good titles, the house of God, the church of the living God. Paul, of course, is talking about the church as an organization of believers made up of members and pastors and deacons, the organized, functioning, serving, ministering body of believers. The local body of believers is what he primarily has in view here. The body of believers as it exists, first of all, in the city of Ephesus, and then, of course, beyond that, written to bodies of believers wherever they may exist. I'm writing so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, Paul, as we know, is writing to Timothy, and so these words, first of all, apply to him, Timothy, so that you may know how to conduct yourself as you lead the church, as you teach the church, so that you know what your role is in the life of the church. Timothy had become, in essence, the senior pastor of the church at Ephesus, having been sent there by the Apostle Paul, in order to strengthen that church, to shore up the leadership of that church, which apparently had failed in their responsibility to properly shepherd the church of God, to feed them, to guide them, to guard them. Some elements had come into the church that were threatening the existence of the church. And so the elders, which had been appointed in that church, and are referred to in the book of Acts, and we know they were there. We know that Paul had appointed them. We know that Paul met with them. They apparently had not been adequate for the job of keeping that church on track, keeping it healthy, keeping it strong, keeping it within the parameters of the Word of God. So Paul had sent Timothy there to be his emissary, his appointed ambassador, to provide proper leadership for that church for a season in order to get it back on track, to get rid of those who were teaching false doctrine, to confront them, to call them to repentance, to call them to renounce their false doctrine and to teach only what was true, and if they're unwilling to do that, to remove them from the church and to instruct the church and its local leadership as to what they need to know and do in order to maintain a Christ-honoring ministry. That's why Paul had written. He's writing this epistle to Timothy to give him detailed instructions for how the church must operate so that Timothy will understand without any question exactly what his responsibility is as the leading pastor of that church during whatever time he's there. He's filling that function right now. But of course, this also applies to all the members of the Ephesian church, that all of them might know how to conduct themselves in the house of God, the church of the living God, because Timothy is instructing them from this epistle. And we've already seen their instructions here for men and their role in the church, and for women and their role in the church, and for pastors, overseers, elders, bishops, and their role in the church, and for deacons and their role in the church. And of course, there are more instructions coming up in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. He's going to talk about widows and many, many things. It obviously applies to all the members of the church in a very significant way. And I'm writing these things so that you, Timothy, and those others who are members of the church at Ephesus may know how to conduct yourselves. In other words, you know how a church is supposed to operate. You'll know what is required of the members and of the officers, the pastors and deacons. You'll know how to understand and maintain sound doctrine, and how the church is to relate to itself within the church, the members of the church, one to another, and how the church is to relate itself to its community, to those who are without. This is vitally important. The conduct of believers, to know how to conduct yourself, how to behave yourself, is what the old King James says, but to conduct yourself, how the church is supposed to operate. Now again, what church does Paul have in mind? Well, of course, the church at Ephesus. What church does Paul have in mind that he's calling here the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church, of the truth? We'll get to that in a moment. That is an incredible statement regarding the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. But I say again, what church does Paul primarily have in mind? The church local or universal? The church visible or invisible? Well, think through what we see here, that you may know how to conduct yourself, Timothy, in the house of God. He's just given instructions for the qualification and selection of pastors. He's just given instructions for the qualifications and selection of deacons. So what church does Paul primarily have in mind? Visible or invisible? Obviously visible. The kind of church that has pastors and deacons and members who conduct themselves properly in the house of God. What kind of church does Paul primarily have in mind here? Local or universal? Visible or invisible? Obviously, Paul primarily has in mind here the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as to its visible expression, its local expression. He's talking about what we normally call the local church. And it's important that local churches be operating properly, be orderly, that the members and officers of the church are conducting themselves properly in relationship to one another, in relationship to the church, in relationship to the Word of God. That's vitally important. That's why Paul wrote this epistle. And again, I have said before, and I say it again, I don't think the New Testament makes nearly the distinction between the church local and universal, visible and invisible, that we seem to want to make today. There are both these aspects of the church that are taught in the Word of God, but it's clear to me that in the New Testament, you really don't have one without the other. You can't pit one against the other. You can't play one against the other. Sometimes we have people who say something like, well, I'm not attached to any particular local church, but I'm for the whole kingdom of Christ. I'm for the church everywhere. I'm I'm a Christian. I'm more concerned about all the churches than any one particular church. And somehow, to some people, that sounds very spiritual. In fact, to some, even more spiritual. Well, let me give you an analogy. Suppose you said to me, I'm concerned about the institution of marriage. I'm concerned about marriage everywhere. I'm concerned about the deadly attacks upon marriage, the erosion of marriage, the low view that people have of marriage today. I'm concerned more about the institution of marriage than I am of my own particular marriage. You would say, well, that's nonsense. Everybody ought to be concerned about the institution of marriage. It is under attack. We all ought to be concerned about it, but you can't help the institution of marriage if you are neglecting your own marriage. The best way to strengthen the institution of marriage is to give proper attention to your own marriage. Make it as strong as you possibly can. Give your particular marriage the honor that it deserves. Participate fully, completely, energetically, biblically, in the particular marriage that you are related to. Make that one the best one you possibly can, and from the strength of that position, you might be able to help others by your example, by your enthusiasm, by your dedication, by your commitment, by your biblical obedience. You might very much be able to help others, to instruct others, to encourage others, but only in as much as you are rightly related to your own marriage and are giving yourself properly to your marriage. Then you can help the institution of marriage beyond your own particular marriage. It's not better to be interested in all the marriages than it is to be interested in your own marriage. That's nonsense. It's not better to be interested in all the churches than to be interested in your own local church. That's nonsense. The way to help the larger body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, all the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to best help them is to give yourself to the church of which you are a member. Your local church. Your relationships. Build up your church. Make sure it's the best church it can possibly be. Make sure you are the best church member that you can possibly be. Learn how to conduct yourself in that particular house of God, the Church of the Living God, of which you are a member. And then from the strength of that position, you might be able to help other churches, perhaps, beyond that. But you have to start where you are. To neglect any one particular church and to somehow minister to all the churches, to give yourself to all the churches, while neglecting the one church, is utter nonsense. It is disgraceful. It is a misunderstanding. It is a corruption. It is to ignore what God has given us in His Word. The way to honor the church is to honor the local church of which you are a part. And if you aren't a part of any local church, shame on you. You are a disobedient Christian. Correct that as soon as possible, and get on with the business of glorifying God through the institution of the local church. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.